RNZ Pacific News, Maloa Lele, I'm Seo Manu Tevam Tau Fai. The former Vanuatu Prime Minister and now opposition leader is not ruling out court action if the government does not bow to his calls to postpone the country's first referendum. The upcoming referendum aims to overcome the nation's persistent political instability. Ishmael Kausakal says there has not been enough time for public consultation.
A person who's not satisfied by what's happening can go to the Supreme Court and have a determination as to whether their rights will likely be infringed by this amendment. At the moment, I'm asking for more time. I am hoping that wisdom prevails at the end of the day.
Mr. Kausakal insists he is voting yes in the upcoming referendum, and his call for postponement is in the public interest. The government has told local media a delay is not possible as the process is already underway. Mr. Kausakal disputes that. Australia's Minister for International Development and the Pacific, Pat Conroy, is visiting Fiji. During the two-day trip, Mr. Conroy was set to have a bilateral meeting with Fiji's Prime Minister and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Siteveni Arambuka, to discuss how Fiji and Australia can continue to grow the Vuvale partnership and better support for Fiji to deliver on its development priorities. Mr. Conroy was expected to make announcements responding to those priorities, including on port infrastructure, cyber and aviation, and scholarships. Coordinator of the Fiji Women's Crisis Centre, Shamima Ali, says too many women are being killed by their partners. This after a 27-year-old man was charged with murdering his 25-year-old pregnant wife at an apartment complex in Suva. Mr. Madingi Buli was refused bail on Monday at the Suva Magistrates Court, and the case has been adjourned for May 14 at the Suva High Court. Shamima Ali says women being killed by their partners is quite common.
From January 2013 to date, we have had 52 women murdered around domestic violence by their partners or their husbands. So 52 is too much for us. It's almost like six a year for the last 10 years or so.
If you or anyone you know wants to report an incident or is in immediate danger, call the police. Samoa's Ministry of Health is doing a survey of people's knowledge of and attitudes to dengue fever. The island nation has declared an outbreak of the mosquito-borne illness with 250 lab-recorded cases from November last year to April 21st. The ministry says the survey, supported by UNICEF, is to gather information on knowledge, attitudes and practices related to dengue fever. It says the information will help to inform ongoing community engagement efforts for dengue. After 43 years, the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Saipan is closing on June 30th. According to an announcement on its website, it says it will cease its operation permanently and will no longer be a Hyatt-branded property. Over 100 Hyatt staff will be laid off following the closure. Senior Mine Labour Secretary Vicky Benavente, who got her start at Hyatt Regency Saipan, says the closure of the hotel is sad news. But she says tourism needs to keep moving forward, managing natural resources, educating youth about the importance of tourism, and marketing the destination as effectively as possible. The Union for New Zealand Secondary School Sector says a worsening teacher shortage is hurting young people's learning. The Post-Primary Teachers Association has released its latest report into staffing across secondary schools. The number of schools with teachers working outside their specialist areas had grown to a record high of 56%. President of the association, Chris Abercrombie, says the figures are concerning.
We just had the latest NCA results confirmed today, and there's been a drop in assessment attainment in all three levels, which is a real concern. But part of it is these number of people teaching outside their subject area. These teachers are working their butts off to try and meet the needs of the kids in front of them, but you don't know what you don't know.
Chris Abercrombie says teacher pay and working conditions continue to be barriers for people getting into the profession. In world news, the pro-Palestinian protests at New York's Columbia University have intensified and spread, with students now occupying a building. The university told other students not to come onto the campus as the situation in New York escalates. Our correspondent Sally Patterson is in New York.
We've seen escalations here at Columbia University as protesters who had been camped out on the university quad took over a building as well. They occupied Hamilton Hall at around 12:30 a.m. local time, where inside some staff members were. They said that there had been a scuffle with some of those protesters. One of the staff members ended up with a cut on their hand.
British police are investigating the motive behind a stabbing spree which killed a 14-year-old boy and injured four others east of London. The ABC's Carmen Gock reports.
Police in London say while the motive is still unclear, they don't believe this was a terror-related incident. A 36-year-old man was seen wielding a sword in a quiet street northeast of London and allegedly stabbed five people. Two police officers received serious injuries while a 14-year-old boy died from his injuries in hospital. An officer was filmed pleading with residents to lock their doors while they attempted to apprehend the man. Police say he was tasered and taken into custody 22 minutes after receiving the emergency call.
In sport, Fijian high school student Lolohene Tsasi is the country's latest taekwondo athlete to qualify for the Paris Olympics. The 19-year-old of Suva Grammar School has been selected for the Fiji taekwondo team heading to Paris. The Paris Olympics runs from July 26th to August 11th, while the Paralympics kicks off on August 2nd. Warriors coach Andrew Webster has called on his players to be better when they don't have the ball after handing the Gold Coast Titans their first win of the NRL season. The Auckland-based club sit 12th on the ladder, 1 point outside the top eight with 3 wins, 4 losses and a draw. They take on the Knights in Newcastle this weekend, and Webster says they need to shore up their defence.
We're one of the bottom teams for defending our areas at the moment, and that's not something we want to be. That wasn't our identity last year. So we're winning so many stats. I think we're first in the NRL for metres. There's so many things that we're doing really well, but it doesn't mean anything if when something goes poorly, you can't defend it and look after each other, and that's what we've got to get back to doing.
Meanwhile, South Sydney have sacked coach Jason Demetrio following a poor start to the NRL season. The Rabbitohs have 1 win and 6 losses and are last in the standings. World champions Erica Fairweather and Lewis Clairbert head a 9-strong New Zealand swim team named yesterday for the Paris Olympics. 6 members of the squad are Olympic debutants. Barry Guy reports.
Fairweather won her world title in the 400-metre freestyle in Doha earlier this year, also claiming a silver and a bronze. Clairbert won the 400 medley. Fairweather will contest 4 events in Paris and Clairbert 2. They're joined by fellow Tokyo Olympian Eve Thomas, who will also have a busy programme contesting 4 events. Fairweather is joined by 2 other Dunedin swimmers, Kane Fellows and Caitlin Deans. National coach Gary Francis says they're excited about the potential of the squad, and with the times they swam at the recent national championships, he's expecting some special performances in Paris.
And that's your latest RNZ Pacific News and Sport. For more stories, go to rnzi.com.